So yeah, we're gonna see some stuff.
Pink princess crown.
That's a teddy bear.
Yeah, like here, this is good. Can we go in here? This is great. Can we just tie right up along here?
Oh, right. Okay.
Good work, open cup.
Okay, so if you have ever listened to Catching Up, you know that I absolutely love the craziest locations on the planet, like Raytown in Jamaica or sitting on an interceptor in the Dominican Republic. And this is one I've been trying to pull together for, well, I say it like I'm trying to pull it together. I'm actually sitting with the person who has pulled together the entire project. But I've tried to pull together this podcast now for about 3 years. But we're in Bangkok. We are just off the Chao Phraya in a little canal. We've got boats going by. There are, yes, babies crying here too, and cats. We're in a setting that is absolutely incredible. It's houses on stilts, but there's a lot of trash in this canal. And that's the reason that we're here. And the person that I am finally sitting down and talking to is one of my favorite people.
Oh,
Charlotte DeYoung. Charlotte.
Hi, Dan. Lovely to be here.
How do you feel right now? This has been years in the making here in Bangkok on the Chao Phraya. Tell me what is happening.
Dan, it's been a long ride. Yeah, so what has been happening is we've had our official launch of the Interceptor 019. Interceptor in the Chao Phraya River, right in the middle of Bangkok. And yeah, it's been crazy. It's been such a long time coming. It's been such a glorious moment, I would say, for not just for me, but for all the partners involved. And it's been really amazing. Yeah.
I want to go back a bit to how you ended up here. You and I have spent some time together on different projects, primarily in Southeast Asia. We've spent some time in Vietnam. We've gotten to float down a lot of rivers. We spent a lot of time in boats together, and I've gotten to know you pretty well through these little adventures that we've taken. How did you end up working for the Ocean Cleanup?
Well, I started 3 years ago, and I was working, I would say, somewhat regular 9-to-5. Prior to this, in urban development, working on sustainability, but I wasn't feeling passionate about what I was putting my time into. I wanted to do more. I wanted to be in places where I felt I could really make an impact. I wanted to be closer to the people that, you know, I feel I can be working for. So I decided to quit my job and apply for a position at the Ocean Cleanup. And I got it. I got lucky. I got in. And there, as I was spending time in the organization, I didn't start in the role that I'm in now, but kind of grew into it. And I feel like it made sense naturally. I really love interacting with people. I love to be out and about. I love like the irregular schedule and kind of the surprises, the adventures that come with that uncertainty. So for me, that worked really well. I mean, I would say I've never worked this much in my life, but it also has never felt like so much fun to be working. So yeah. To me, it makes sense, and I really like what I do.
That's a very common theme, I think, throughout this organization, is that a lot of times what we do, it is hard work. It's long days. You're in locations that are just sometimes just overwhelming to all the senses. But the weirdest thing is that you lay down at night and you don't feel like you've actually worked.
Yeah.
You just feel like you've been a part of an adventure or part of a story or part of something. And I think that's something that is very unique to the type of work that we do. And the payoff is that we are now starting to see impact with things, right? Like there is this sort of reward in the end where we're sitting and saying, hey, we're now seeing some of these river projects and the ocean project come full circle, and we're seeing how much trash we're pulling in. When you're around your family and friends, how do you explain what it is that you go through on a daily basis at the Ocean Cleanup?
Well, it's funny because I find that what I go through, I shared mostly with fellow colleagues. Mm-hmm. Or another place where I talk a lot about my work is when I go out kite surfing and I come off the water and there's other kite surfers and we're discussing either pollution that we see on the beach or just overall our involvement or concerns about marine life. Because we all love the ocean and you just spend a few hours enjoying the ocean. So I think that that's where I really find like-minded people that really want to dive in deep. My family and my friends, they see that I work really hard and they see I really like what I do. So they're happy for me that I'm going out and I'm doing something that fulfills me. But it's sometimes difficult to really explain, like, how do you explain, oh yeah, I sat through a 3-hour meeting and we didn't really conclude into anything, but it adds to the tale. So This is just a tiny little step forward again. It's not really an exciting story to be sharing if you don't know the details, but it's important.
Yeah.
And everything adds up. And at the end of the day, yeah, I feel so close and so happy when I'm out on the water, and that's really what is inspiring to just keep going. And I think for me, that's the biggest motivation.
It's so true, because there really is no way to describe what it is that we do for this organization. I mean, you can say, I was in a boat and I followed an interceptor as it was towed 6 hours down the Klang River. But if you don't understand what all that entailed, it's like a James Bond movie. Like, right. You're on little boats and you're moving here and you're maneuvering and you're flying a drone and then there's engineers that are making sure that water's not leaking here and is the nose going down, and it's like the intensity is so, it's like you're in a movie when you're doing this. And then you get done and you have to explain, what did you do for these 6 hours? And it's like, well, if you weren't there, you don't.
Yeah.
Sort of get it, right?
I mean, that's been my life the past, like, I would say 2.5 years. I've been working on a project that didn't materialize until a few weeks ago. So my story was, oh, busy, busy. Mm-hmm. Look, there is trash and it's like a solution is coming or technology is coming, but it's just not there. So there's a really long time of seemingly nothing happening because you can't see it yet.
Yeah.
But a lot needs to happen before you can start, tackling the issue. And it takes a long time to build an alliance and to get people motivated or to get people together, even if they are motivated. Sometimes it just takes time to form that alliance. And that's, I don't think it's boring, but I can imagine as an outsider, the stories can be a little bit boring to listen to. But that's what I do, and that's what is really cool is that I have something to show for it. I can say, oh yeah, I spent 2.5 years, but that's what I've been doing. That's what I worked on. So now everyone can see.
Yep, it's very cool. Take me through, as if I knew nothing about this project, tell me the story of Interceptor 19 and the Chao Phraya from the beginning.
All right, so back in 2019, we had a successful launch of our interceptor prototype in Indonesia. So that's a 001. And after we launched this prototype and proven technology, our team set out to find other locations around the globe in polluting rivers where we could deploy interceptor originals. And Chao Phraya was one of the rivers that came up as a river that would qualify technology-wise, but also where we could achieve a lot of impact. And back then, our team reached out to embassies, to the governments, to see which governments would be open to receiving such a technology. The government in Thailand was very receptive, so we started working with MONREI, the Ministry of Natural Resources and Environment, and to create an MOU that would support bringing an interceptor to Thailand. And from there on out, a relationship started to form, first with MONREI, and then they assigned their Department of Marine and Coastal Resources to work with us. And in 2021, we signed an MOU with this department. So that's when we had our first tangible collaboration, I would say. And we started working towards defining a location for the Interceptor, to build a consortia of partners that could help set up this project. And we felt like we were well on our way by the time we were in 2022. We thought at the time we only needed 6 more months to deploy our Interceptor right somewhere in Bangkok. And then as we had just shipped the Interceptor from Malaysia to Thailand, we received news that the plan or the configuration that we envisioned for this Interceptor wouldn't fit into Chao Phraya because it was too close to the navigational channel. It was a way too busy point of the river to be putting a technology in. It would create high risks of collision. So there was no way that we would be able to get permits for this Interceptor. So you could say about a year and a half, 2 years ago, all of a sudden, all the work we had put in stranded and we had no location. We had willing partners, but nowhere to put an Interceptor. And we had to basically start from scratch. So it was a bit of a disaster for us. So we sat down internally, we reviewed where we were, so who were the partners we were working with, but also who were the ones able to tell us where we would be allowed to go. So we had a major session here in Bangkok with the Marine Department, with DMCR, our partner, supported by the embassy. There was also the municipality involved, and we just filled the tables up with maps and sat down and looked at where in Chao Phraya River can we find spots where a technology like the Interceptor could be placed without interfering with all the traffic on Chao Phraya, without interfering with the economic heartline of the city, but where we would also be able to create impact still. And we defined a location, actually the one we're in now. And then from there we started to build up again. So we got very lucky that our new location was in the Bangkok Central District or Bangkok Central Area. So we got to work with the Bangkok Metropolitan Administration, who had just gotten a new governor who's been a great supporter of this project. And so we got to work with another great partner because of the shift in location, and that really catapulted the whole project into, I would say, a bit more of a quicker pace because we got so much more support. And then from there on out,
a ton of catfish just jumped just right by the boat,
giving us a bit of a show.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It was a blessing in disguise, I would say.
So
the past year and a half, we've worked a lot with the authorities to see what we had to deliver in order for us to get the permit. Our consortia started to expand and expand and expand as we got more clarity on what we would need to get the permits. And back in November 23, we finally had all our documentation in place. We handed everything in to the Marine Department, and 3 weeks later we received our permit and we got to go into Chao Phraya River with our Interceptor. So it's been crazy. Towards the end of the year, towards Christmas, we've had such an emotional time finally getting this news that we would be able to push this project forward. And we got to celebrate it with everybody that has been with us along for the ride.
So the angels did arrive in the end.
In the end, yes.
Yeah. And as you said, it did turn out to be even a blessing in disguise, because the location that we are at now is beautiful.
Yeah.
The park that we're at. Tell us a little bit about where we are now.
Okay, so the Interceptor.
Yeah.
It's located next to Ramanine Bridge. So that's, if you know Bangkok a little bit, it is quite central. It's located next to a park, a very well-used, popular park, and we're moored about 50 meters away from the shoreline. So we have a very visible location. You can see the Interceptor from the bridge, you can see it from the park. A lot of the ferry boats on Chao Phraya, they pass by. Yeah, and it's great because it's actually really beautiful.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
I've spent hours at this park now in the last 2 weeks, and in the morning, I showed up on Sunday morning and there was a group of ladies doing the fan dancing, practicing. Yeah. And then doing it with swords. And I was just filming this and they were so friendly and I got to just sit and hang out with them for a morning and then and pointed at the sign. We have a sign there that, that explains what this project is. It couldn't be in a better location. It reminds me very much of Interceptor 007 in LA, that it's in such a high traffic area. How much does that help?
I really think that this is what we are doing it for. We're not just trying to intercept plastic, but we're also trying to raise that overall awareness of the issue. So we all know if more people are aware of the consequences of irresponsible waste management, that people would be more careful with their waste. And I think this project really adds to the message that we, but also other organizations, want to share with a larger audience, like the importance of responsible waste management, the importance of segregation of waste, and being so visible and having such a strong support of a community really carries out that message. So I think that's really nice. And even just in the first week that we arrived at the park, we got calls from three different schools that were asking if they could bring their kids around, if they could get an introduction, maybe a sell-by, so that the kids could also get closer to the project. Kids are excited about the project. They want to dive in. They want to contribute to solving this issue. And I really think that that's the kind of energy that really helps us carry out the work, but also helps, you know, tackling the issue.
Because this is the beginning of a journey.
Yes.
That we're doing here. Because, as you said, this interceptor is not covering the entire river. But it's very visible, and it is capturing a lot of trash. I spent all of last week on it. It's catching surprisingly more waste than I think we even imagined in the first place, right?
Yeah, so we were a bit concerned because Chao Phraya is so hectic, so busy. We weren't able to cover the entire river or even half of the river like we can in other locations. So we were concerned that it wasn't going to catch a lot of waste. But surprisingly, it's performing well, better than we thought. But we always said, considering that we are unable to cover the entire river, this is just the beginning of a much longer journey. And we know some of our partners are very active already in Bangkok, or they're active in the Gulf of Thailand, dealing with the same issue, trying to get rid of marine pollution, plastic pollution. And we really want to continue building on those relationships and the synergies that we have to do more. And to really work towards what we call closing the tap, rather than having a small drip feed still of waste going into the Gulf of Thailand.
And this is where your role comes in so essentially. Is essentially?
That
sounds weird.
You're American, you know.
I can invent words.
I don't know. You can invent words. I wouldn't know.
This is where your role is so essential. You never did really introduce yourself. What is your role because I've been watching you for years, and it's been amazing to see the relationships that you've developed, the way that you handle people. You cover everything. I mean, you get involved with communications. Today you're sitting there talking to Tom in operations. You're a busy little bee running around.
Yeah. So my role is really to focus on everybody externally, so all our external stakeholders. So that is our operator, but also our partners. It is also very strongly linked to communications. And it's on one hand, building relationships so that we can get better consortia, but also to better understand the problem that people are facing, so that you're also able to customize what you're doing to help fix the issues that they're experiencing. So I would say, my job, I really like it, but it's mostly talking. It's a lot of listening. And I never really go and jump into the water to build a barrier or something like that. No, I'm just listening, engaging, and trying to create alliances.
But when you were here, you spent a lot of time here with no interceptor in the water. And then you were here when they towed the Interceptor to its final location. What was that day like for you? What were the emotions? What were the feelings when you saw this thing being towed under these massive bridges and along the shoreline of this huge river? It had to have... I can imagine, knowing you as long as I have, that there might have been a few tears.
It was definitely emotional. I remember arriving at the shipyard and Stephen, our Asia director, who's been here along the way, he was there as well. And it was really like a surreal moment. Is this really happening? Like, is it there? Is the moment there? And I remember jumping around, hugging, and like you get this butterflies in your stomach, basically. And it was just really cool. But then also, we had informed all the people we work with that this was happening. So when the Interceptor arrived at the park, there were like 20 plus people waiting for us, all cheering, and everybody was just so stoked that it was finally there. So I think the feeling I had was also the feeling a lot of our partners here had. And it really felt like such a joint effort, such a nice moment to finally celebrate together. And that's really been, I would say, for me, the biggest reward the last few weeks. It has become so clear, how engaged our partners are, but also how much they own the ideas that we initially brought here. It's not so much that this is our Interceptor, but it's like ours as just the ocean cleanups, but it's the Interceptor of all the partners here. They advocate on our behalf. They talk about the project as if it is theirs. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important, because now we don't just have one person or three people talking about this project, but we have an entire group of 50 plus people sharing that message in Thai. And I think that is super powerful.
And one thing I've picked up on these projects all over the world, I've been on every Interceptor now. As you said, the sort of ownership that gets picked up by the local operators, and the way that they keep it clean, the way that they, you know, make sure that everything's running the way that it is. But I have to say, out of all of the projects, this one, watching these guys on this thing and how they're constantly scrubbing it and cleaning it, and it's like it's their baby and they're taking care of it. And then I took a trip on there with Boyan a few days ago, and because these were all designed the same, they basically came off out of the manufacturers the same, so that they're not custom tweaked. So there were some things that needed to be fixed, some holes that needed to be clogged or whatever, and just watching the way that they took the feedback and understood it and were able to sort of clog these holes and do some minor fixes that made a massive difference hours before this major media event was just so impressive. How do you see this pride being taken by this crew here?
Yeah, so for me, I really love the Thai people. I love working with them. I think they are very structured. I mean, for everyone who's been to Bangkok, at first sight you might think, wow, it's chaotic, it's busy, it's hectic. But once you spend a few days there, you realize there is order, a lot of order to the chaos, and there is structure, and people protect that structure. And I think that's what I've been feeling working here as well. Like, people are very motivated. They make it their own. They figure out a way to optimize whatever needs to be done, and then they get it done. So they're very hardworking. And then, you mentioned it already. They are very proud people, proud of their country, but also proud to be joining us on a mission like this. So most of the people, or I'd say all of the people we work with, they have a genuine motivation to contribute to what we're doing. And that really reflects in their work ethos. It reflects in the hours that they make. They really go the extra mile. They feel bad if something isn't going right, because they want to make sure that we are as successful as can be. And I think that's really, that's the ideal situation. Yeah. You don't want to force your ideas up on someone, but rather have them be excited for it and feel the same.
It's so true, because I come on these things with the camera and GoPros and drones, yeah, or whatever, and I'm seeing it visually. I'm seeing it. Okay, well, I don't want all this trash yeah, here, and the shine is okay, but we don't want to make it look too shiny, because it's not supposed to look too shiny. Like it was almost the opposite effect, that they kept scrubbing it down, and I was like, these are supposed to be dirty. These, yeah, are like floating army tanks. They're supposed to have grunge and, yeah, and dirty water that hits them or whatever. So don't make it too shiny or it's going to look fake. But the way that they just adapt to this is just so commendable for a project of this, yeah, of this size. Tell me, out of all of the projects that you've worked on now for the ocean cleanup, of course, no mother's supposed to have a favorite child, but what project have you enjoyed the most working on?
So I would say every project I work on is unique, of course. And I have a special place for all of my children, uh-huh, in my heart. Uh-huh. But with Thailand, I've been there from what feels like the start, or at least the second start. So that really feels like the project I've carried through all the way. And I know it back to front. So yeah, that one is just closest. I also feel so proud for, yeah, being along for the entire journey and yeah, watching it evolve to something tangible, something real. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so definitely.
It's a weird position that we get in as the ocean cleanup, because we have this unique opportunity to travel to countries and to help deploy technology to rid the world's oceans of plastic by intercepting it in these rivers and bringing this technology. It gives us the opportunity to explore the culture. It gives us the opportunity to get to know the people. But yet it's also one of these things that we shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
This shouldn't be a problem in the first place, right? So the unique thing about this is that we get this opportunity to see this technology start and to start the impact. But we do leave it up to the locals to take ownership and to continue the process so that they can pass it on to the next generations and the next generations. And then also, because we're just starting it, a lot of these projects will grow. And yeah, and we had the opportunity the other day to go on a boat and follow these beautiful yellow boats that have been doing this before we even got here. So it was a bit different than some of the other projects. Like, we came in and we're not coming in as like the first people to come in to work on this plastic, mm-hmm, problem in the water. We're coming in almost shoulder to shoulder with other people that have already been doing this. Tell me about this ride we took and what was happening, and tell me about this part of the partnership.
Yeah, so the yellow boats you mentioned, they are run by the municipality, so by the Bangkok Metropolitan Administration. And it's true what you're saying, they're doing an amazing job. So what we have in Bangkok is, rather than having to build an infrastructure, there is already an infrastructure that we can just tap into. So our technology, even now, is plugged in to what's already here. And in my opinion, that's amazing, because it saves you a lot of effort, but also all the waste that's taken out. This is not the first time the municipality is dealing with river waste.
Right.
So it's so easy to explain what you need and to think about next steps to optimize, because people understand. And I think there's where I feel very confident about, yeah, the future for cleanup in Bangkok, because, yeah, the understanding is there, the willingness is there, and it really feels like with a few tweaks here and there, some technology, it's very much realistic that we can end the pollution in Chao Phraya River, or close the tap, as we like to say it.
Yeah.
Rather than, yeah, maybe, you know, going to a place and the challenge being so big that you're not even sure if you're ever going to reach the end.
Right. And that's the point I want to get across, because I think that in some projects we do, it is that, where we do come in and there's nothing.
Exactly.
And it's like starting from square one. But I like how you worded it. We sort of plugged in to what they're already doing, and we're almost like an accent to a very shiny accent with lights.
Yeah.
that helps them to continue doing what they're doing, and it draws attention, which will make this solution only happen quicker overall. And
I think that that's something that we as the Ocean Cleanup need to really take into consideration going forward a lot more, because, you know, there are so many other organizations out there like 4Ocean, Sungai Watch, that are doing what we do. And the thing I always like to say when I run into these people in the field, or when we're in similar locations or having meetings with them, is like, you know, it's not a competition.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it is basically all you can eat plastic. And so the more people that we get on, the more people doing this, the better, the quicker that the problem will be solved and we can all move on to the next thing. How do you take that into the field when you go on in meetings and offices? Because human nature is, a lot of times we sit in these meetings and we hear things like, oh, they're your competition. But there's no competition, right?
No, I don't think there is competition. I definitely don't feel that way. And it's been a bit crazy sometimes, because I feel like we come into meetings and the Thai people are so appreciative that it almost sounds as if we're the first to try and clean up, but that's not the case. They're already doing a really good job. We are just creating a synergy. Mm-hmm. And I think anyone trying to clean up rivers is adding on to that synergy. And it's like you say, there is enough plastic to go around. Everyone can have a piece if they want to.
Yeah.
So come the more, the merrier. Yeah, come get it. And I think in Bangkok, we're just lucky that with relatively less effort, we can achieve so much more. But I'm very much aware that that's not the case for every river. So there, again, it goes to show, if you've seen one river, you've only seen one river. So yeah, you need to customize the ecosystem you create to the location you're in. And we're very lucky in Bangkok that there is a lot taken off our plate already by the authorities and by other organizations.
And it's so evident, because watching these boats yesterday, I was just shocked. I mean, these things are out there every day. There's 30 plus of these boats, not to mention the ones that have the conveyor belts on, all morning long, just filling up with trash constantly. And, and so kudos to what is already happening here, for sure. It's incredible. So what is the future going to look like? What are the next steps? Because as we said, this is the beginning. This is, you know, the first inning.
Yeah.
Where do we go from here?
Yeah, so from here, it's really going to be led by our local partners. And they're already doing that. We're going to work out where next in Bangkok do we need to put technology in order to increase the impact and to close the tap. And that's really going to be led by authorities. It's going to be run by them, and we are sharing our data, our knowledge, guiding, if you will, on how to set up for the rest of Bangkok. And then after that, who knows, elsewhere in Thailand. We have partners on a national level as well as on a local Bangkok level. So we're looking at both sizes and exploring nationally and locally.
Amazing. Well, Charlotte, congratulations, and a hell of a job, seriously. Like, watching this one come together from the beginning has been a pure joy for me as well. And then to get to meet the team, everybody, the operations team, the partners, everybody over the last weeks that are just working their tails off on this thing. It is incredible what this achievement, and it's beautiful, the location is beautiful, and it is having impact, which I think is the most important thing anyway. So a very good job to everybody that has worked on this project, and everybody that's listening to this podcast. Check out Interceptor 19 in the Chao Phraya. There's a lot of video, a lot of photos coming. The story is gonna be going until we tackle this river. So please follow us, keep supporting us, and thank you for all the support that you do give us already. Check out our funding page we have now. We're up and running. So if you want to support us in other ways, like bake sales or marathons, we're trying to make it as easy for everybody to support us in every way possible, because we're not there yet. We do still have a long road ahead of us for all the projects, but every time that we put one of these things in the water and we hit the switch on, we get closer and closer. So thank you for your support. Charlotte, it has been a pleasure. And I can't wait to do this again in 5 years.
Yeah.
From the same canal. So.
But clean.
But a cleaner canal.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks.